At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it, Chuck Reshow. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rhodes gets first request. So, this is not Ice Cube.
No.
Because this is but this is the song
that he sampled.
Yep. For It Was a Good Day.
Yep.
This is the Isley Brothers. So we kind of tied it all in together, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got his
birthday.
And, yeah. Ice Cube's birthday today, but Ice Cube not necessarily Brown Liquor Music.
No, not really.
Not
one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen, though. Him, he was our headliner for Homecoming when my freshman year at Morris
really?
Brown. Yeah. This was right after he broke off from NWA.
Really?
So we were like one of the first places that got to see him when he cut off the Jerry curl, and man, the gym he performed in our gym, because we had one of the bigger gyms, and man, that place, the roof blew off that place, man. It was a great Homecoming concert.
That you know, it's funny, just the idea of seeing somebody, I don't want to say before they became famous, but just when you see an artist like that getting started,
mm-hmm.
it kind of sticks with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, just the idea of, hey, you know, they weren't what they would become.
Exactly.
You know, and they were obviously, you know, he was obviously world famous from being in NWA. And like it or not, he was one of the most controversial, you know, artists because of being associated with NWA.
Yeah, definitely.
But still, I mean, you know, that's cool. It's like a cool story. Like when you talk about the idea of, oh, yeah, I saw him back then.
Yeah.
You know, like I saw him back then. See, that's what I say about. So I saw the Rolling Stones in 1989. Now, obviously they had been around for, at that point, what, over 25 years?
Right.
I mean, they obviously formed in the early 60s or whatever. So they'd been around for over almost 30 years probably to that point, right? I mean, almost 30 years. But looking back, like, I felt like I got prime Mick and Keith and all that.
Yeah, because they were what? Probably what? Still in their what? 30s, 40s?
Oh, no.
By then? 89?
Oh, let me see. What year was? I bet they were probably.
I'd say at least 40s.
I bet they would probably in their 40s.
Yeah, I'd say 40s.
Mick Jagger was born in 1943. So he would have been
89.
Yeah, so he would have been he would have been 46 years old.
That's relatively still. I mean,
I you know, I mean, again, not in their 30s, but I mean, but still, you know, again, Mick Jagger at 46 years old was moving and grooving like he was 25,
exactly.
Like most 25 year olds.
Yeah,
and obviously, again, it was so great. Keith Richards had a cigarette in his mouth the whole concert. So I mean, he had a lit cigarette and he was just dragging a lit cigarette. The whole concert, so it was fantastic. So, I mean, again, but, you know, it's not like I have seen, you know, the Rolling Stones when they're 90 years old.
Right.
Or, you know, they're, you know, like as original of a lineup as you could. Because, again, it was Mick, it was Keith, it was Ron Wood. I mean, mm-hmm. It was Bill Wyman, Charlie Watts. So that was the Rolling Stones,
right.
You know. Now, again, you know, Charlie Watts is dead, Bill Wyman's dead. So it's not quite the same if you see the Stones, right?
Right.
And that's the thing about it is that, you know, I don't want to say I saw them in their prime, but, I mean, I felt like I saw them.
You still saw good energy.
Exactly. Like
Stones.
I saw them at a time when they were still a high-quality band,
mm-hmm.
not kind of where they're at now when they're all in their 80s and half the band is dead.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I told my boss the other day, I was like, man, I should have gone to see the Eagles in that Hell Freezes Over concert
mm-hmm.
because, again, I would have gotten all of the – now, again, I know that the Timothy B. Schmidt era is different, but still, than the Don Felder era. But, I mean, that was, you know, the hardcore lineup. Now, if you go see the Eagles, it's Glenn Frey's dead.
Right.
Like, it's not the
it's
Eagles.
It's not the Eagles,
yeah.
Right.
Right, and – you know, Fleetwood Mac was touring
mm-hmm.
without Lindsey Buckingham and what's her name? Christy McVie, because obviously Christy McVie is dead. So I mean, if I went and saw Fleetwood Mac, which by the way, I saw Fleetwood Mac in concert, and that was one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life. That was Christy McVie. They had gotten back together.
Right.
You know, and this was, well, I saw them twice in concert. When they first got back together for that Behind the Music and all that, and they mm-hmm. came back together and they started touring.
Right.
And then I saw them like in 2015, I believe it was. Robbie Rosenhaus and I went and saw them. And those were some of the two best concerts I've ever seen in my life because it was the Buckingham Nicks Fleetwood Mac. It was, you know, it was... Stevie Nicks and Christy McVie and mm-hmm. John McVie and Mick Fleetwood and Lindsey Buckingham. So, like, that was the group. But now, you know, Lindsey Buckingham's been fired. Christine McVie's dead. So if you see Fleetwood Mac, it ain't Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
I mean, not when you substitute – I forget who the guy is that they had as their lead singer. But, you know, again – having somebody else sing Go Your Own Way, you know, on stage that's not Lindsey Buckingham, that's not really my cup of tea. So you get a chance to see some of these bands. So the idea is that you saw a guy in Ice Cube that,
right.
you know, was just kind of starting into his solo career and getting started. And that's a cool thing to have seen in that.
Yeah, but, it really was.
But that, I'm sure that was a good and a fun concert.
Yeah, so. And especially for a college kid, you know. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know. So, all right, Braves do win 8-3 tonight. Smith Sharver gets the win, 5 2/3 of 3-run ball, 6 hits, 6 strikeouts, couple of home runs that he gave up. He pitched 99 pitches in the game. Tonkin got the save. He was fantastic. 3 1/3 innings, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts, and 1 walk. He was fantastic in 45 pitches. So great job by him. And look, the Braves beat up a bad baseball team. Now they need to do this 3 more times. Should be 3 more of these games. Sweep the Rockies out of here. They're bums. I haven't seen what the Phillies and everybody's doing right now. Let's see real quick here too, because let's see what. What Phillies or what have you are doing. Phillies are up 5-4 on the Diamondbacks. They beat the Diamondbacks, I should say, 5-4. The Mutts did not play, so the Braves will pick up a half a game on the Mutts, and they'll stay 8 games ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies. So good news all the way around in Braves country tonight. So Alex Smith-Sharver, or A.J. Smith-Sharver, I should say, he gets the victory, and they win 8-3 with 11 hits in the game tonight. So, all right, let's grab a college football roundup.
It's time for the College Football Roundup, a complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
You know, looking at this 2024 conference schedule for the SEC, it is very interesting. I mean, you know, they've done Alabama no favors. They get Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina, and Missouri at home, and they have to go to LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Now, that's a tough schedule. That's tough times. How about Vanderbilt? Okay? Vanderbilt's got Bama at home, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas at home, and then they go to Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, and Missouri. It's not a very easy schedule for themselves as well. Look, I like what the SEC has done here to ramp up the competition. So, Oklahoma, they've got Bama, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas at home. They'll go on the road to Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, and Missouri. That's a good schedule. Texas will have Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi State at home. They go to Arkansas, to Oklahoma, to Texas A&M, and to Vanderbilt. Now, what I like about this schedule in particular, first off, they keep the Red River Shootout intact, which they were always going to do, but still, the idea of seeing the Red River Shootout, that's where that game is in the Cotton Bowl. We talk about Georgia and Florida. You know, Oklahoma, Texas in the Red River Shootout, that's one of the unique games in college football because that's a neutral site game. So they normally play that at the Texas, at the Cotton Bowl during the Texas State Fair. So that's another unique game. So I love the fact that they're going to keep all that in place. But I love the idea that they have, besides Oklahoma, that they have Arkansas and A&M. So they partner them back up. First off, A&M Texas should never have gone away. That rivalry should never have gone away. That was always the Friday after Thanksgiving. That was always right after Thanksgiving that that game was played. That rivalry should not have gone away. But what I love most is the idea of Arkansas and A&M. That's the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah.
Which, again, I've said, the old Southwest Conference is the greatest conference in college football history. Look, at one point, every single program in the Southwest Conference, other than Rice, was on NCAA probation. Because the old Southwest Conference is every school in Texas plus Arkansas.
Yeah, SMU.
SMU, matter of fact, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Baylor,
yeah.
Houston, Arkansas yeah. was in that conference. What did I say? I said Baylor, SMU. Mm-hmm. Who's the school that
I'm
missing?
You said TCU?
TCU was in it. Yeah. A&M was in it. Yeah. So every school in the state of Texas mm-hmm. plus Arkansas. And Rice, I mean, Rice is in Houston, right outside of Houston. But right or no, is Rice outside of Houston or Dallas? Right, Rice is outside of Houston, is it not?
I think so because TCU is closer to Dallas, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. yes. But every school in the Southwest Conference besides Rice was on NCAA probation. That they were the greatest cheater conference in college sports history. And that's how I like it. I want all the oil guys to kick in money and cheat like crazy. That's what made that conference so great. That's why I love that conference so much. Auburn, home with Arkansas, Oklahoma, A&M, and Vandy. And they go on the road to Bama, Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri. That's a tough schedule. That's a tough 8-team schedule to have to play. LSU, Bama, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt. And they go to Arkansas, Florida, South Carolina, and A&M. So I think the SEC, and we talked about Auburn, Florida, Miss State, Tennessee for Georgia, at Alabama, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Texas. So, again, they were always going to take Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, and try to partner them up somehow to introduce everybody to, okay, this is big boy SEC football. We're going to have Oklahoma, Bama, and we're going to have Georgia and Texas, right? Oh, and by the way, we're going to get Alabama and Georgia playing. Because, again, the way that this works is you'll play every team twice in a four-year. You'll play every team in a home-and-home over the course of 4 years. That's how it should be. I have no problem with that. I don't want 9 conference games. And the reason I don't want 9 conference games is because I like the fact that the SEC and ACC hook up for 5 games at the end of the year, and they keep that regional rivalry, right? So, again, it's Florida State, Georgia Tech. It's Kentucky and Louisville. It's, South Carolina, Clemson, right? Like, those are games that I want to keep in place, if nothing else, for the regional rivalry of them and the in-state rivals of some of those games. I like that idea. I like when Florida plays Miami and Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Those three teams should play each other every year.
Yep.
It should be that round robin of the state of Florida. Florida State and Miami should play each other every single year. So I like that about. So I don't want to take that away. Again, we're losing enough tradition without, you know, having to, you know, muck up the schedule and everything like that. So I like the idea of keeping those games intact, because if not, you're probably going to take those games away. Because, again, at some point, you're going to have to play a couple of cupcakes. Sorry. I mean, but, again, you're going to play East Tennessee Technical, and you're going to play Ohio Valley making, you know, tees or whatever.
And those are games, honestly. And I know they're money makers for the small schools, but I really wish they would get rid of those games.
Well, again, to your point.
I get it. I know.
They're, it's just too much money for those schools to look. You get $1 million check to go get your brains beat in.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I can build my weight room. I can put new uniforms on.
Yeah.
I mean, again, those schools need that, because where else they're going to get the money?
Yeah, no,
Other than their donors. I mean, you know, they need those checks coming in.
Yeah. Well, can we limit them to like maybe just one per year for the big schools?
Well, you know, again, they do have a rule in place that you can't to become bowl eligible. You can't count more than one Division II school as a win on your record, right?
Right.
So if you're going to get to 6 wins in a bowl game, you can't have 2 wins be a Division II school. So, yeah, they're doing some of that. But, again, you know, for instance, Alabama does not want to play UAB.
Right.
I mean, they don't like playing UAB, because UAB's been good a few times and you know, could have potentially beat them. They don't like playing the idea of UAB and Alabama hooking up. But, again, you know, letting an Alabama State and Alabama play one another. Like, I would like that, just because, again, I understand what the financial and economic structure of those small schools are.
Yeah.
They need that check.
No, I get it. I went to a small school, so I totally get it. It just, I don't know. It's hard to watch.
Well, I mean, again, it's a glorified scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
You get a chance to play a lot of guys in a game like that without the fear of losing, right?
Yeah.
Like, without fear that you're going to lose, you get a chance to see a lot of guys lower on the depth chart.
That's true.
You get it. You get them in a game situation.
Yeah.
You get to
see them. Let them get the reps.
Right. And coaches get to put film of these guys.
Yeah.
And have the tape available,
mm-hmm.
but without the fear of losing a game.
Right.
Right. Because you're not going to play your third string freshman linebacker against LSU and if you're in Alabama,
right.
You're gonna play him against LSU unless everything goes wrong, right?
Yeah.
So again, the only time you get to see him is when you play Toledo Technical or whatever,
right?
I mean, that's how you see them.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, very simple. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Will Desmond Ridder have a minimum 475 attempts this upcoming season? Minimum 475 attempts. Are you taking the over or under in that? 475 attempts for Desmond Ridder. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's much harder to come.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuckery Show. All right, so is this another tie-in?
No, well, I don't remember anybody else using this. Is this a remake?
No. So this is I Just Called to Say I Love You, right?
Stevie, yep.
All right. I had Gilda Radner as one of my 10 funniest women of all time.
Right.
Isn't this from...
It wasn't a
the
movie.
The Woman in Red.
Yes, The
right?
Woman
the
in
Woman
Red.
The Woman in Red,
yes,
with Kelly LeBrock and Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, yes.
But isn't Gilda Radner in that movie?
You know what? I didn't see that because I was young, so I don't believe. I wasn't allowed to go see a movie like that at the time.
Right, let me see. The Woman in Red.
But I remember the movie because he did. Didn't Stevie did most of the soundtrack?
Yes.
And that's why I'm familiar with the movie.
Yes, Gilda Radner is in The Woman in Red.
She is in. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Haha, see, I just.
Let's see. Co-stars Gilda Radner. I'm trying to see what the role that she played was. But it was... So, Gene Wilder has this... You know, Kelly LeBrock, who's from Weird Science.
Right.
Formerly Mrs. Steven Seagal.
She's Steven Seagal, yep.
Yeah. But she was in that movie, and she was the object of Gene Wilder's desires.
Yeah.
But... Gilda Radner was like after him. I mean, like Gilda Radner was.
So she wanted him, but he wanted Kelly LeBrock.
Yes. She's Ms. Milner in the movie. He wanted Kelly LeBrock. Gilda Radner and Gene Wilder were married in real life.
Okay. So,
and by the way, it's just Gene Wilder's birthday the other day.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, one of the funniest people of all time.
Yeah.
The stuff that he did with obviously Richard Pryor is just legendary. I mean, again. To this day, Stir Crazy,
yep.
Just magnificent.
Yep.
Like, that is so good. Silver Streak's a great movie as well. So they did so much good work together with those two. But Anyway, so that's so. See, we tied
yeah,
in another.
We tied in another. Yeah,
we tied in another.
See if
of
I can
my
keep
top
going
10,
here.
So. Yeah, you didn't even. Yeah, I mean, you're a poet and didn't know it. You know, I mean, you didn't even know what was going on with it all. So, all right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is the phone line. Look, I'm asking a very simple question. Do you think Desmond Ridder throws it at least 475 times this year? Now, a couple of things. We know that the Falcons were one of the least passing teams in the entirety of the NFL. Marcus Mariota had 300 passing attempts. Desmond Ridder had, what, I think it was 116 passing attempts in his four games.
Yeah, I think it was 115. It was 115, 116.
Okay, so yeah. It was 115. So if you think about it, if you think about the fact that Marcus Mariota threw it 300 times in 13 games, Desmond Ridder had almost half that number in four games. Now, Desmond Ritter's pace would have been for 488.5 attempts on the season. So I still take the under when all is said and done. Now, Dayday, I didn't ask you. You take the over or the under?
I'll take the under, but I think he can get close. I think they maybe get, just because of the weapons, right? This just right. How they can use particularly Bijan and Tyler Algier out of the backfield. It doesn't just have to be run,
right,
handoff
right.
run.
Absolutely.
You know, it could be quick passes to them
yeah,
out of the backfield.
And they're gonna throw it to Bijan Robinson
right.
a lot, right?
So I say under, but I don't think it can be too far off.
So I take the under. Mike Bell took the under. Carl took the over. Look, I still don't think they're going to put the pressure of throwing the football around on Desmond Ridder's shoulders. Obviously, only the four-game sample size this past season. And while, again, it was a pretty good number of attempts for four games, it's not a matter of taking the ball out of his hands because I don't think he's going to be as reckless with the football as what Marcus Mariota was. But I don't know that they believe that he's the quarterback. He's not Matt Ryan at this point.
Right.
Right? He's not ready
right.
to. He's not ready to throw it, you know, 600 times the way Matt Ryan was throwing it in his, you know, in his later years. Now, what's interesting about Matt Ryan when you look at his numbers, his first 2 years in the league, 434 attempts, 451 attempts. Well, obviously that's the Michael Turner years, right? And they were 20-10 in those two seasons. But he threw it barely 450 times in his first 2 years. But then by year three, that number and that gets you into Julio, right? Okay, that number went from 451 to 571, and then the next year it was 566. Then you start to get into his prime and the 2012 season, 615, 651, 628, 614. That's when you start to get into his real prime years. And then the Super Bowl year, believe it or not, he only threw the football 534 times. 534 times, or 11-5. His touchdown percentage was the best in the NFL as far as percent of his throws for touchdowns. He had the 38 touchdowns on 534 attempts. But I don't think they're going to ask Desmond Ridder to, number one, not only just not huck it around, but the idea of being a guy that forces the football around. I think he's going to have high percentage throws. I think it's going to be throws that are high percentage, high accuracy types of throws. Maybe take some shots downfield when the moment calls for it, but not be reckless with the football. And that was one of the things, obviously, that really hurt the Falcons last year was how reckless Marcus Mariota was with the football. So I don't think that they ask that of Desmond Ridder. So I'll still take the over, or sorry, I'll take the under, even though he was on pace for 488 throws. I don't think it gets to that. I think he's in that maybe 450 kind of range the way Matt Ryan was in the first couple of years of his career.
Yeah.
That if they really lean on their offensive line, which is also a very run-oriented offensive line, like we still don't know if Caleb McGarry can be an effective pass blocker. We don't know what Matthew Bergeron is going to be as far as pass blocking goes. I think he'll be a good run blocker because he's got the physical size and attitude to do it, and I think he'll move people off the line of scrimmage, but I don't know what kind of pass blocker he is, and especially playing a new position. And Drew Dolman. So I think that when you look at the pass blocking of this offensive line, that's where I have my concerns about what they are or can or going to be at the end of the day. And I still think that that is up in the air about how good that group of guys are. I know they can run block, and they're one of the best offensive lines at run blocking in the league, but I don't know what they are in pass blocking. So I don't think that they risk that at the, you know, for the sake of having Desmond Ridder huck it around more. And that's why I say, look, Drake London had led the team with, I think it was 107 targets last year. I don't think that number goes up. I think that number stays flat or goes down because, A, you're not going to throw it all that often still. Two is you're still going to have the Pitts and Jonnu Smiths and guys like that that are going to get the football in their hands. So just by attrition with all the guys that they have to throw to, Bijan and everybody, they probably aren't going to have his attempts or targets really increase all that much. Because, I mean, again, you don't anticipate the idea of Kyle Pitts being injured or anything like that. So I'll take the under. I don't think it'll be drastically under. They won't be, you know, 400. I mean, they were, what, 415 attempts this past season. I mean, that I think that was the second lowest next to Tennessee in the NFL. I don't think it's going to be that kind of low, but I still don't think that they're going to get close to 500. I think it maybe is 450 when all is said and done. And if he can be 450 attempts, be, let's say, 2,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, because we think that they're going to be an elite red zone team, then that's fine. I think they'll win a bunch of games. I think they'll win 9, 10, 11 games when all is said and done. If he has that kind of year, 2,500 yards, 66% completion, 25 touchdowns on 450 pass attempts, I think that will be plenty for their offense. And they'll be a really good offensive unit, especially if they're that kind of red zone offense that we keep talking about, 67% in the red zone. So I don't think it's too drastic, but I still think at the end of the day that Desmond Ridder isn't going to get to that kind of number. And he may never be a quarterback that throws it 500 times in a season, right? He may never be that kind of quarterback that you see throwing it 500 or 600 times. Like, that's usually used for guys their offense has to rely on a hardcore passing attack. That's your Matt Ryans and your Aaron Rodgers and guys like that. Pat Mahomes, I mean, and I don't even know, like, let me see what Pat Mahomes, what his highest attempt season is. Mahomes threw it 650 times over the last 2 years. Because they're an attacking offense. But again, even his first full year, not his rookie year because he only threw it 35 times, but 580 attempts. Now, they do that short passing game that Andy Reid likes and all that kind of stuff, and they got tons of weapons, and they turned it over to him, and all he did was throw 50 touchdown passes. How about that? How about in your first full season, you're 12-4 with 50 touchdowns.
Crazy.
And the MVP of the league. Is that right? Good?
That was year what? To his
first, that was his first full year in
yeah
the NFL.
But I mean, as far as his year, that was his second year in,
yes, it was his second, it was
his sophomore
his true,
year,
yeah, it was his true second year,
yeah.
But he only played in one game in his first year,
right,
remember that was the Alex Smith,
right,
where he sat behind,
yep,
Alex Smith,
that's right.
So he only threw 35 passes. He had one start, I think that was at the end of the year when they clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
One start, 22 of 35, but then the second year in his first full season, 16 starts, 12-4, 50 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. Is that good?
That's great.
Think he's not the best player in the NFL? All he did last year was throw 41 touchdowns and 12 picks. Oh, and he threw for 5,250 yards. But see, again, you can do that with those kinds of guys, right?
Yeah. And don't forget he won a Super Bowl, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, they again, it's all because of their offense. They weren't a very good defensive team. Like, no, they couldn't sack the quarterback or anything like that, right?
I mean, dude, they were only like the number two.
Oh.
They were like they were number two? Yeah, they were number two. They were terrible.
Well, I mean, the number one sack team probably – the number one sack team in the league probably didn't go very far.
Though. Yeah, I mean, they. I think they played in the Super Bowl.
What?
So, yeah, they might have made it to the Super Bowl as well.
Okay. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron's highest attempt total, 610. He had 401 completions on 610 attempts back in 2016. But over the last few years, he's averaged about 530 attempts per year, which is still a pretty big number when all said and done. But I don't think that they'll get to 475 with Desmond Ridder. All right, one more segment to go. JR Sports Brief coming up at the top of the hour. Chuck Reed, Nakia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Can you feel it, baby? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Is this called Feel So Good?
No, this is Sweet Thing.
Oh, Sweet Thing. Okay.
Sweet Thing, yeah.
404-726-0929. Back with you tomorrow on Friday. Braves did win tonight, 8-3, by the way. Do you know who Dixie Carter is?
I feel like I've heard the name.
So I'll try to make this as brief as I can. Dixie Carter's parents were the two people that started. Her dad, really, Richard Carter, was the guy who started Panda Energy,
okay?
An energy company in Dallas, Texas. Well, Panda Energy became the money people for TNA. When Jeff Jarrett was running out of money, when he was running out of money, Panda Energy became their financier, right?
Right.
Robert Carter, I should say. Robert Carter founded Panda Energy. And then that became a whole debacle. And they made Dixie, who was basically an ad executive, because she hooked up Jeff with her mom and dad. But Dixie Carter was...
Oh, she's the chick from Designing Women.
Huh? No.
Not that Dixie Carter?
No. That's Hal Holbrook's wife.
Oh,
no.
I was about to say.
Dixie Carter was the... I don't want to say owner because it was always Robert Carter's ownership, his money. But she owned TNA.
Okay.
Right? After Jeff Jarrett. And she became sort of like the on-camera commissioner and some different things like that.
Yeah, I see her now.
She became a personality and all that. But but her family was the financer for TNA.
Okay.
When Jeff Jarrett was running out of money. Panda Energy is $1 billion. Now they're no longer around,
right?
But Panda Energy was $1 billion company. So they were the financiers for them. Dixie Carter loved to be on TV, and there's a lot of great stories. If you listen to Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, Jim Cornette, you know, when they were all there at TNA. Like, they talk about the fact that Dixie Carter was so infatuated with being on TV that she thought she would be like the Real Housewives of Nashville, right? So, this is funny. A former TNA star says that Dixie Carter wanted to be Stephanie McMahon so badly that it turned people away from television. Angelina Love spent years working in TNA under Dixie Carter. And speaking in a new interview with Steve Fall of WrestleNews.com, she spoke about the circumstances that led to one of her departures in 2012. It was a change in management that was the catalyst for that. If you have 14 girls on the roster, Vince Russo is going to make sure that like 10 to 12 of those girls, if not all of us, are somehow incorporated on the show. So it was always very fair. I will just say this because they were not fond of me and I was not fond of them. Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard, once they came in and got an office position, it was just like, for me anyway, they were so nice to me before they had any kind of position, and then once they got into position, they would just walk by me like they never saw me. They changed up so much stuff, and then it did become like at least 40% less people that were always on the shows before this, then blah, 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 blah. Okay. Where's the Dixie Carter part out there? Let's see here. So Dixie Carter at the time, during all this, she was the one in charge of TNA, and according to Angelina Love, Carter took bad advice on how to run her promotion. Instead of featuring the talented roster, Carter put herself on screen in increasingly prominent roles, and Love believed she wanted to emulate the on-screen success of Stephanie McMahon. I heard of a situation where Eric Bischoff, that is, had a conversation with Dixie Carter in the offices that really made her flip a switch, and it went less from kind of a cozy family-ish nice vibe backstage to being cold, like heartless, just kind of like gray and vibe, kind of vibe, and it was like everybody could feel it. No one liked it. She definitely had the wrong people in her ear giving her very bad advice, and we'll just see where she took that, and she went off in her own world. So I had heard this before, but, you know, again, Stephanie McMahon was, you know, great on-screen heel character. I'm like, she was pretty good. I mean, I'll give Stephanie McMahon credit. She played her role really well. But it is kind of funny because, you know, when you try to emulate people in wrestling like that, you usually fall on your face. And Dixie Carter was not a good performer. I mean, she was, and I saw Dixie when I went to a TNA show. I saw Dixie. She came out on stage, and you know, she was like the commissioner, and you know, she wanted to be. And again, you could always tell that she was like forcing herself on television,
onto it, right,
instead of just coming naturally. You know, instead of it just coming naturally to her, she was always kind of forced. But again, you can do that when you're the boss's daughter,
yeah,
right? I mean, when you're the daughter of the person who's putting up all the money, you can do that. And again, by that time, Jeff Jarrett was losing all of his power and influence and everything like that in there. And when they brought Hogan and Bischoff and those guys in, you know, that was paid for by Spike TV. You know, they kind of did a lot of crazy things like that, but they fed into her ego about putting her on TV. But it is funny that, you know, I've heard these stories before about Dixie Carter and how she really wanted to be an on-screen character. She wanted to be an on-screen character like Vince or Stephanie McMahon were. You can't replicate that. Like Vince McMahon was arguably the best heel. I mean, JR still says to this day, he's like, Vince McMahon was the best heel in the Attitude Era. He was the number one heel in the Attitude Era. He had the number one babyface and the number one heel together fighting, you know, one another. And he says he was the best heel. Dixie Carter wanted to be that. You can't be, not everybody can be Vince McMahon or Stephanie McMahon.
No. I mean, Bischoff couldn't even do it.
Right. And Bischoff was really good. Yeah,
he was good, right.
Right. Bischoff was really good. Now, the thing is, he was doing it before Vince McMahon.
Right.
Because again, when he was in the NWO, that was before Vince became, because really Vince became Mr. McMahon after the Montreal Screwjob.
Right.
Because he thought, when he did the promo about Brett screwed Brett, he thought he was being the babyface. He thought he was being the good guy in that scenario. And people didn't buy it.
No.
And then the writers like Bruce and Pat Patterson were like, well, why don't you embrace that? Like, why don't you become a bad guy? Why don't you become a heel? And then the whole thing with Austin, you know, starts, because that was the Mike Tyson, you know, when they touched and all that, and they got in the, before WrestleMania, they got in the fight and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And Vince is like, you ruined it. I mean, it great. I mean, that's one of the great scenes of all time in Raw history. But you know, he started that kind of turn. And then obviously when Austin won the title, he made Steve come out in a suit and gave him the new belt and all that kind of, and then the McMahon, you know, Austin feud, you know, starts. But no one was better than Vince at doing that. Like, nobody could have done that. But it is funny, like, you get knockoff TNA Dixie Carter that's trying to do all of that, you know. And I guess that's her real name.
Yeah, that is her real name.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, again, she's not the actress from
Right. Yeah,
from,
no. You know, I found her. Yeah, that's her real name.
Yeah. I mean, her father was Bob Carter. Bob Carter again was the founder of Panda Energy.
Yeah. So. And then she was also married to a music producer.
Yes. She's still married to this day. I do believe.
Yeah.
She's been married for a long time, but and there was always rumors about her messing around on the with some of the wrestlers. You know, she wanted to be the female Vince McMahon. She always said that. She wanted to be the female Vince McMahon. I mean, if you listen to Bruce's podcast and Eric Bischoff's podcast and some of the other podcasts that Jim Cornette has talked about it too, that, you know, she always wanted to be the female Vince McMahon. She thought she could be that. Nobody can be Vince McMahon.
No.
You know, and she didn't have the money at stake. Like, it was her father that had the money at stake, and that's why he put her in charge, is because he didn't want a whole bunch of money being spent on this, what do you want to call it, vanity project in wrestling. Right? I mean, he was in the energy business.
Right.
Wrestling was not a winning proposition for him. He was not a guy who was risking his fortune on a wrestling promotion, but he was funding it. Like, he was floating the money for it. So he wanted to become as profitable as it could so he could get out of it, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually they sold to Billy Corgan, right? Again, from the Smashing Pumpkins. And I think they own, it's called Impact now, right? I think it's called Impact. Billy Corgan owns it or whatever like that. So but you know, they wanted to get out of that business or whatever like that, and they were.
Well,
just,
I was about to say, with him being a businessman, he knows. I mean, listen, it's going to be very hard to be financially competitive against WWE.
Right, and they wanted to try to be that, and they were never going to be that, and that was the thing that Jeff Jarrett tried to tell them, that okay, it's not bad to be number two,
right?
Like, but they wanted to try to compete, because remember, they went on Monday nights Spike TV.
Yep.
They went Monday nights with Spike. You know, they were trying to do everything they could to compete with Vince, and you were never going to compete with Vince. Not especially at that time of you know, life. And we're never going to compete with Vince McMahon. But that's what they wanted to do. And they ended up getting crushed for it.
Yeah.
You know, and they ended up, remember, they ended up signing Kurt Angle and all these high-priced guys. Sting, Kevin Nash. Like, they brought on all these high-priced guys, way overpaid for them.
Yep.
And didn't get anything in return. And they didn't develop anything. But it is interesting because Samoa Joe had a lot of great matches there. Obviously, AJ Styles started in TNA. But they were so overspending on their payroll and stuff like that they could never put together a coherent TV product. And they were getting crushed by the WWE. And they didn't understand that you can't compete with them. Like not everybody can compete with WWE.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway. All right, when we come back, we'll get the Love TKO. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Is this called Feel So Good?
No, this is Sweet Thing.
Oh, Sweet Thing.
Okay. Sweet Thing, yeah.
404-726-0929. Back with you tomorrow on Friday. Braves did win tonight, 8-3, by the way. Do you know who Dixie Carter is?
I feel like I've heard the name.
So I'll try to make this as brief as I can. Dixie Carter's parents were the two people that started. Her dad, really, Richard Carter, was the guy who started Panda Energy,
okay?
An energy company in Dallas, Texas. Well, Panda Energy became the money people for TNA. When Jeff Jarrett was out of money, when he was running out of money, Panda Energy became their financier, right?
Right.
Robert Carter, I should say. Robert Carter founded Pan Energy. And then that became a whole debacle. And they made Dixie, who was basically an ad executive, because she hooked up Jeff with her mom and dad. But Dixie Carter was...
Oh, she's the chick from Designing Women.
No.
Not that Dixie Carter?
No. That's Hal Holbrook's wife.
Oh,
no.
I was about to say.
Dixie Carter was the... I don't want to say owner because it was always Robert Carter's ownership, his money. But she owned TNA.
Okay.
Right? After Jeff Jarrett. And she was the – so she became sort of like the on-camera commissioner and some different things like that.
Yeah, I see her now.
She became a personality and all that. But but her family was the financer for TNA when Jeff Jarrett was running out of money. Panda Energy is a billion-dollar – now, they're no longer around.
Right.
But Panda Energy was a billion-dollar company. So they were the financiers for them. Dixie Carter loved to be on TV, and there's a lot of great stories. If you listen to Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, Jim Cornette, you know, when they were all there at TNA – like, they talk about the fact that Dixie Carter was so infatuated with being on TV that she thought she would be like the Real Housewives of Nashville, right? So, this is funny. A former TNA star says that Dixie Carter wanted to be Stephanie McMahon so badly that it turned people away from television. Angelina Love spent years working in TNA under Dixie Carter. And speaking in a new interview with Steve Fall of WrestleNews.com, she spoke about the circumstances that led to one of her departures in 2012. It was a change in management that was the catalyst for that. If you have 14 girls on the roster, Vince Russo is going to make sure that like 10 to 12 of those girls, if not all of us, are somehow incorporated on the show. So it was always very fair. I will just say this because they were not fond of me, and I was not fond of them. Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard, once they came in and got like an office position It was just like, for me, anyway, they were so nice to me before they had any kind of position. And then once they got into position, they would just walk by me like they had never saw, they never saw me. They changed up so much stuff, and then it did become like at least 40% less people that were always on the shows before this, that, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Where's the Dixie Carter part out there? Let's see here. So Dixie Carter at the time, during all this, she was the one in charge of TNA, and according to Angelina Love, Carter took bad advice on how to run her promotion. Instead of featuring the talented roster, Carter put herself on screen in increasingly prominent roles, and Love believed she wanted to emulate the on-screen success of Stephanie McMahon. I heard of a situation where Eric Bischoff, that is, had a conversation with Dixie Carter in the offices that really made her flip a switch, and it went less from kind of a cozy family-like, family-ish like nice vibe backstage to being cold, like heartless, just kind of like gray and vibe, kind of vibe, and it was like everybody could feel it. No one liked it. She definitely had the wrong people in her ear giving her very bad advice, and we'll just see where she took that, and she went off in her own world. So I had heard this before, but, you know, again, Stephanie McMahon was, you know, great on-screen heel character. I'm like, she was pretty good. I mean, I'll give Stephanie McMahon credit. She played her role really well. But it is kind of funny because, you know, when you try to emulate people in wrestling like that, you usually fall on your face. And Dixie Carter was not a good performer. I mean, she was, and I saw Dixie when I went to a TNA show. I saw Dixie. She came out on stage, and, you know, she was like the commissioner, and, you know, she wanted to be, and again, you could always tell that she was like forcing herself on television instead of just coming naturally, you know, instead of it just coming naturally to her. She was always kind of forced. But again, you can do that when you're the boss's daughter,
yeah,
right? I mean,
you
know, you're the daughter of the person who's putting up all the money, you can do that. And again, by that time, Jeff Jarrett was losing all of his power and influence and everything like that in there. And when they brought Hogan and Bischoff and those guys in, you know, that was paid for by Spike TV. You know, they kind of did a lot of crazy things like that, but they fed into her ego about putting her on TV. But it is funny that, you know, I've heard these stories before about Dixie Carter and how she really wanted to be an on-screen character. She wanted to be an on-screen character like Vince or Stephanie McMahon were. You can't replicate that. Like, you just,
no.
Like, Vince McMahon was arguably the best heel. I mean, JR still says to this day, he's like, Vince McMahon was the best heel in the Attitude Era. He was the number one heel in the Attitude Era. He had the number one baby face and the number one heel together fighting, you know, one another. And he says he was the best heel. Dixie Carter wanted to be that. You can't be, not everybody can be Vince McMahon or Stephanie McMahon.
No. I mean, Bischoff couldn't even do it.
Right. And Bischoff was really good.
He was good, right.
Right. Bischoff was really good. Now, the thing is, he was doing it before Vince McMahon.
Right.
Because, again, when he was in the NWO, that was before Vince became, because really Vince became Mr. McMahon after the Montreal Screwjob.
Right.
Because he thought, when he did the promo about Brett screwed Brett, he thought he was being the babyface. He thought he was being the good guy in that scenario. And people didn't buy it.
No.
And then the writers like Bruce and Pat Patterson were like, well, why don't you embrace that? Like, why don't you become a bad guy? Why don't you become a heel? And then the whole thing with Austin, you know, starts, because that was the Mike Tyson, you know, when they touched and all that, and they got in the, before WrestleMania, they got in the fight and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And Vince is like, you ruined it. I mean, it great. I mean, that's one of the great scenes of all time in Raw history. But you know, he started that kind of turn. And then obviously when Austin won the title, he made Steve come out in a suit and gave him the new belt and all that kind of, and then the McMahon, you know, Austin feud, you know, starts. But no one was better than Vince at doing that. Like, nobody could have done that. But it is funny, like, you get knockoff TNA Dixie Carter that's trying to do all of that, you know. And I guess that's her real name.
Yeah, that is her real name.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, again, she's not the actress from...
Right,
from,
yeah, no, you know, I found her. Yeah, that's her real name.
Yeah, I mean, her father was Bob Carter.
I mean,
Bob Carter, again, was the founder of Panda Energy.
Yeah,
so.
And then she was also married to a music producer.
Yes, she's still married to this day. I do believe.
Yeah.
She's been married for a long time, but and there was always rumors about her messing around on the with some of the wrestlers. You know, she wanted to be the female Vince McMahon. She always said that. She wanted to be the female Vince McMahon. I mean, if you listen to Bruce's podcast and Eric Bischoff's podcast and some of the other podcasts that Jim Cornette has talked about it too, that, you know, she always wanted to be the female Vince McMahon. She thought she could be that. Nobody can be Vince McMahon.
No.
You know, and she didn't have the money at stake. Like, it was her father that had the money at stake. And that's why he put her in charge, is because he didn't want a whole bunch of money being spent on this, what do you want to call it, vanity project in wrestling. Right? I mean, he was in the energy business.
Right.
Wrestling was not a winning proposition for him. He was not a guy who was risking his fortune on a wrestling promotion, but he was funding it. Like, he was floating the money for it. So he wanted to become as profitable as it could so he could get out of it, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually they sold to Billy Corgan, right? Again, from the Smashing Pumpkins. And I think they own, it's called Impact now, right? I think it's called Impact. Billy Corgan owns it or whatever like that. So but, you know, they wanted to get out of that business or whatever like that. And they were
I was about to say, with him being a businessman, he knows. I mean, listen, it's going to be very hard to be financially competitive against WWE.
Right. And they wanted to try to be that. And they were never going to be that. And that was the thing that Jeff Jarrett tried to tell them, that, okay, it's not bad to be number two.
Right.
Like, but they wanted to try to compete. Because remember, they went on Monday Spike TV.
Yep.
They went Monday nights with Spike. You know, they were trying to do everything they could to compete with Vince, and you were never going to compete with Vince. Not especially at that time of you know, life. They were never going to compete with Vince McMahon. But that's what they wanted to do. And they ended up getting crushed for it.
Yeah.
You know, and they ended up, remember, they ended up signing Kurt Angle and all these high-priced guys. Sting, Kevin Nash. Like, they brought on all these high-priced guys, way overpaid for them.
Yep.
And didn't get anything in return. And they didn't develop anybody. But it is interesting because Samoa Joe had a lot of great matches there. Obviously, AJ Styles started in TNA. But they were so overspending on their payroll and stuff like that that they could never put together a coherent TV product. And they were getting crushed by the WWE. And they didn't understand that you can't compete with them. Like not everybody can compete with WWE.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway. All right, when we come back, we'll get the Love TKO. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.